The following message is presented by Fellowship Bible Church from its weekly pulpit ministry. We offer an expositional study through entire books of the Bible, one verse, paragraph, or chapter at a time. We pray that you'll be blessed by listening in. Thanks for visiting.
Thank you very much. We'll hold the singing right there for now and ask you to join me in prayer as we open our service of worship to the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. Thank you, Christy, for your help. All for being here. I'm glad that you're here to worship together with us. Not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. We don't want that to be our manner, that's for sure. All right, let's pray. Father, we bow before you and thank you that it is indeed a wonderful truth in Isaiah in the 60s where it says his robes for mine in essence. That's the idea, and we thank you for the truth of that from Scripture. Father, we are clothed in His righteousness, subsequent to the fact that He was clothed in our sin, and that He died upon a cross after having mastered Your law, giving Himself entirely in life and in death for the salvation of His people. We thank You that we are counted among that blessed group who have known the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. And now as we worship Him, I pray that You help us as we think about the things that we've challenged each other with the last couple of weeks or so, with the matter of how our thinking lines up with Scripture. We ask that You'd help us. And then as we partake of the elements of the table, that we'll remember that the Lord Jesus Christ died not only for sins of deed, but sins of thought. Perhaps for us, Lord, we struggle more with the one than the other. And I ask that You would help us to be thankful that He has cleansed us every whit, but yet we still need to have our feet washed through regular confession and cleansing, and even through the action of this service, that we take some time to ponder what is happening in our spiritual lives. And through this symbolic remembrance, we remember the blood of Christ, which cleanses us from all sin. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I think we'll take up those hymnals later. We can set them aside for the moment. And I want to just come right to my message this morning because of the lack of time that we have. A couple of weeks ago, I sent you all an email. Some of you didn't get it, so I had sent it again about a question that I had. Several months ago, actually, I sent a question regarding the Lord's table, and we dealt with that for the next two Lord's table services. This time I sent a different kind of question, and we're going to deal with that today. We started on a Wednesday evening a week and a half ago to talk about dealing with bad thoughts. The recognition, we said then, that you have these kind of thoughts and you struggle against them is a mark of Christian life, a mark of some level of maturity. We began by classifying bad thoughts, and we talked about the origin of bad and good thoughts, and I'll review that briefly this morning, and then I want to suggest some approaches to help us with these things. I was edified by the responses that I got, about a half a dozen responses from church folk and friends who answered that email. And I do send that email for you to spend some time to think about an answer. So please do that. I'd like to see a higher response rate in the future and even with this one. So because it's a good exercise for us. But in any case, classifying bad thoughts. We talked about a number of these on last Wednesday, a week and a half ago, worry, fear, anxiety, doubt. We talked about one yesterday, fretting in Psalm 37. We talked about fantasy. We talked about lust. We talked about thoughts generated by bad songs. We talked about negative things in politics and the disunity that it fosters. Covetousness and related desires. Somebody pointed out after the meeting, gambling. That's an interesting one. The kind of idea that I'm going to make it rich quick and be able to get the things that I want, covetousness, hatred, vengeance, anger, bitterness, discontentment, pride, jealousy is one we didn't mention last time, impatience, I think somebody brought that up, on the road, say, or with a family member, long-term guilt, self-pity, dwelling on things that you've done and being affected by them to an inordinate extent. Remember, nothing that you have done can atone for sin, right? You bring nothing in your hands to the cross. Nothing can atone for sin, not even enough guilt or tears to do that. There's also godless planning, thinking about your plans in life and not keeping God in the center and at the top and frontmost of those plans. James chapter 4 talks about that. We spent a little time talking also about dreams and how dreams can indeed be sinful dreams. There's nobody else to blame but yourself, we said. By process of elimination, there's only one person accountable, and that would be yourself, the dreamer. There's also depression, panicky thoughts. Sometimes folks think about untrue things, false things. This happens in speculating about things that might happen or things that they think could have happened, but then if you stop and think about those things, you realize, well, that didn't happen, that's not true, couldn't be true. And it could be that you're caused to worry about a lot of things that are simply not true, they're not present, or they have not happened. Sometimes this happens in the area of Christian doctrine. Sometimes people worry about things that are simply false doctrines. They worry about losing their salvation. That's not an object of worry, my friends, because it's impossible. But people get lost in that because they've been taught false doctrine. That's why false doctrine is so devastating to people. It causes false thinking and ungodly thinking. We're talking about bad thoughts here, bad dreams, things that are not pleasing to God, things that are not in line with Philippians 4:8. Remember that verse? If you don't, I encourage you to memorize that verse. You have to know that text of Scripture. Whatever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, of good report, if there's any virtue and if there's any praise, think or meditate on these things. Okay, Ben, that's my verse for the potluck this afternoon. Okay, so check that box off for me. And you all have to share your verses for the potluck at the lunch. Incessant repeated thoughts of bad things or bad words that you've heard or bad jokes or news stories or bad language. Sometimes bad language tries to push its way out and other times it springs out right quick. And you have to repent of that. The true Christian life is a life that controls the tongue and controls the mind by the power of the Spirit of God. And that's mentioned in James 1:26. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this. You know, it talks about the one who has an unbridled tongue, that religion is useless. Violence also is a matter of thinking. People think about violent things, whether it's violence against others, against self, or others against you. It could be violence in movies or video games. These are damaging kinds of thoughts. We know this scientifically, but we also know it spiritually. These can very much damage the mind over the long term. Spending too much time thinking about certain things, even if they're not sinful in themselves, that itself can be a sin. Wasting time over analyzing things, going over and over and over something. Another one I came up with in my re-evaluation of this is undisciplined thinking. You think about, say, something has happened and you hear one side of the story and you jump to a conclusion. You haven't disciplined your mind to stop and wait to hear the other side before you evaluate the situation. Now, we also talked about the nuance of this, where there's a certain point at which something presents itself to your mind. And maybe it's a bad thing on the from out in the world, and it just presents itself to your mind and moves in there just as a fact. You know, God knows all kinds of bad things that happen and sees all kinds of evil, but it doesn't affect him by giving him this kind of bad thought process. A classic example might be you see a wallet full of money laying on the ground. Well, immediately your thought might be, well, I could turn in the wallet but take the money. Well, right then and there, the fact of the wallet has presented itself to you, but it's now become a temptation and you've thought about the thing that you could do with that. So the situation that you find yourself in, as you think about it, becomes an occasion to seek your own desires or your own pleasure, and that's when it's turned into sin, and sin has been conceived. We said the origin of bad thoughts comes from the triple axis of evil, the world, the flesh, and the devil. The flesh is the first and worst of those things. The world, of course, tries to work on you, and of course also the devil does, either taking away good thoughts or putting in bad thoughts. But he gets too much credit, as I often say. Our flesh is to blame. In fact, James says it's from our own evil desires, our own lusts that are within us, that this stuff comes. And the Lord Jesus said the same thing, didn't he? He said all this stuff that defiles a person doesn't come from outside. Where does it come from? From the heart. It comes from within and works its way out. That's how bad sin is. So where do good thoughts come from? Well, they don't come from the sin nature. They come from the redeemed nature. They don't come from the world. They come from the church and Christian friends and the scriptures, and from God, not from the devil. All right, so what about approaches to help? That was all review and a little expansion on what we did before. I'd like to offer you solutions to your problem of bad thoughts, but the difficulty is that problem can never be fully solved, as you will struggle against some bad thoughts all your life. This problem is not going to entirely go away until you're in heaven, or I should say perhaps better for us, resurrected and in the kingdom of Christ. But God has given us tools to deal with the problem. And some of you wrote to me some nice thoughts about the thinking problem, as it were. And I'll share those perhaps sometimes in a kind of anonymous fashion. But here's my list. I have a number of them. First of all, you have to trust God to help you. Your Christian life started by faith. And if it began by faith, how is it going to continue in the power of the flesh? It can only continue by faith. You say, I'm trying to stop thinking this. How about I'm trusting in the Lord to help me with this challenge that I am facing. That's the way to kind of ground all of this. All of this is done in an atmosphere of faith. You must be in the Word of God regularly. Read it, and not only read it, but digest it. Chew on it. Think about it. Sanctification is largely an issue of the mind, and sanctification cannot happen if we are not in the Word of God regularly. And I'll just say it flat out here, my friends. There's no excuse that is acceptable. No excuse is appropriate for saying, I can't be in the Word regularly. If you do a lot of things regularly, you can be in the Word regularly. Listen to what I'm saying. No excuse is appropriate. The Spirit of God uses the Word of God to work in the mind of the believer, to cleanse our mind. I mean, how can a person keep their way pure? By taking heed according to the Word of God. Yeah, and that's the way of a person, is not just what they do on the outside, it's how they live and includes on the inside. You could spend time in prayer as well. So we're founding this all on the foundation, cornerstone of faith. We're in the Word of God regularly. We're in prayer on a regular basis. We're asking God for help. What does Philippians 4, 6, and 7 say? You know, if you're anxious, don't be anxious for anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God. Sometimes just a practical, you know, you're struggling with some bad thoughts right now, a practical step of moving to a new location and getting into a new posture, like on your knees before God, praying. That will, well, it's not a magical formula, but think about that. Try that sometime to break the cycle of incessant bad thoughts. Be in the Word and in prayer. Concentrate on thinking about good things. That's my fourth. Philippians 4:8, we've already cited that verse. And I call this the only valid form of replacement theology. You replace bad thoughts with good thoughts. We don't replace Israel with the church, but we do replace bad thoughts with good thoughts. There's only so much brain processing power that you possess, and you cannot be thinking about a lot of different things at one time. I mean, maybe your brain works differently than mine, but there's only so much multitasking that can go on upstairs before you have to put something on the shelf and come back to it later. So concentrate on thinking on good things. Put a plan down as to how you can live a holy life. Now, carrying on from Philippians 4:8, you might not be as familiar with Philippians 4:9. You might want to just set your eyes on that verse for a moment. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 9, Paul says, "The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you." The God of peace will be with you. Well, what's peace but the opposite of anxiety, which is one of those bad thoughts that we were thinking about a few moments ago. Let's see. Number 6 on my list. Confess and repent of your bad thoughts. And don't wait until the end of the day or the end of the week or the next Lord's table service to do it. Do it now. Confess and repent regarding your bad thoughts. So to confess means to admit that you're wrong. Lord, it is wrong that I am thinking about this thing. Repent. Tell God that you desire not to have those thoughts. Again, Lord, I don't want to think about that. So A, I know it's wrong. B, I'm turning away from that pattern of thinking and taking what steps I need to take and being resolved to take what steps I need to take in order to not have those thoughts continue to control me. And that would include then practical steps like, where do those thoughts come from? Well, I saw that on the internet. I watched that on a television program. I read that in a book. Well, turn off that part of the internet. Get rid of that book. Don't watch that TV program. Don't read that magazine or whatever it is, if there is such a thing. Being around these certain people, you're going to have to figure out a way to either not be around those people or ask them to stop talking like they're talking. You know, how about that? That'll really make you stick out like a sore thumb. That'll be good for you. Good for them, too. And by the way, once you do that, the Lord does promise in 1 John 1:9, if you confess your sins, He is what? Faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you. So joyfully receive God's forgiveness and thank Him for it as you do that. Number 7, I think it is, seek advice from your parents, from other believers, and from your pastor. I'm struggling with this particular thought or this kind of thing. And go back to this kind of stuff and use these tools that God has given to us. What about this one? Say no to yourself. No, I cannot think about that. Okay? And then obey yourself. Say no. Self-control and self-discipline are required. You have to control your thinking. You control your eating. You control your schedule. I hope so anyway. You control your exercise and your bedtime and your to-do list and whatever else. You have to control your thinking. Control your temper. Control those thoughts. If you're in the midst of a battle with a bad thought, stop and ask yourself, what is a Bible verse that I can recite? What does that imply? Yeah, I hear you. If you're going to recite it, you've got to be able to recite it. You've got to know it. You're hiding God's Word in your heart as a regular part of discipline in church life and in home and family life. And if you're not, then you're going to be that much more incapable of dealing with those bad thoughts because you won't be able to combat them with the Word of God. So you have to memorize Scripture verses. And when your kids ask, why do we have to do this? Well, you don't necessarily understand now, but you will thank me later. You know, you'll thank the Truth Trackers teachers later after you realize why you had to get all these verses into your mind. If you're in the midst of an attack of bad thoughts, do something different than what you're doing at the moment. Do something productive. In other words, stay busy with good things. You have less time for bad things. Sometimes that might mean if you're really struggling, I have occasionally, and others of you probably have, especially in the evening at night when you're lying down to rest. You might have to just get up and you might have to shift your focus a little bit and then try to go back to rest after that. You can also go and help somebody else. Serving others is a great way to get your eyes off of yourself and onto others and to helping them. A great way. The first thing you feel like doing, well, let me say it this way. What's the last thing you feel like doing when you're depressed? Probably going and being with other people. So what should you do to combat it? Go and be with other people. Go and be with your Christian friends. And force yourself to do it. Watch what happens. Watch what happens. I would say it's almost like magic, but it's not magic. I mentioned already about stop putting the bad ideas into your head through whatever means they come. And finally, I mention another one here, and that is sing a hymn to God. Sing a hymn to God. Turn your mind toward thankful worship instead of what is bothering you. Now, over the years, I have collected a few passages and put them on our church website. It's a page called Help from the Bible under the Bible tab or menu there. You can find some of those there. But some of you also mentioned these verses. Matthew chapter 6, who by worrying can add a cubit to his stature. Philippians 4, 6 to 10, we've gone over. Ephesians 5, Brother Tom is teaching on that passage right now in Sunday school in his series. Colossians chapter 3, the word of Christ should dwell in you richly in all wisdom as you speak and sing and admonish one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Psalm 51, 10, one wrote to me and said that they pray this prayer, to create a clean heart within me, O God. David's penitential psalm there. Psalm 101. Proverbs 3, 5, and 8. That very famous passage. Trust in the Lord and His ways will be your ways. 1 Corinthians 10, 13 is another good one. No temptation has taken you except such as is common to man. Here's another one somebody pointed out. 1 Corinthians 15, 33. Bad company corrupts good morals, manners, bad company. Ephesians 4:29, let no unwholesome communication come out of your mouth. 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7 talks about casting your cares, but that's subordinate to a more important or larger idea. Verse 6, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God by casting your cares upon Him, because He cares for you. And of course, we mentioned 1 John 1:9. There are a dozen verses there we've just mentioned in your toolbox against the problem of thinking. So make sure that you have your toolbox right at hand and ready to be used when you run into those troubles with bad thoughts. I hope that's helpful to you, somewhat practical. but you know what? This is good doctrine, because good doctrine leads to good practice. It helps us to live for the Lord. Now, as we come now to the end here of the message, I just again remind you what we said before at the beginning, and that is the table represents the work of Christ, which atones for all of our bad thoughts. All of those. They're hidden. They're hidden between your two ears. Maybe nobody else knows about them, except God knows about them, because God knows your thoughts before you even think your thoughts. Oh, that's scary now, isn't it? Yeah, he doesn't need to have electrodes on your brain to see what you're thinking. He has the knowledge of that. And we want to make sure that we please God in how we think. The Christian life is the life that starts in the mind. It starts with belief, starts with trust, starts with right doctrine. And you can't have it and have sinful thinking alongside in some kind of harmonious fashion. There has to be a battle there. Has to be. You have to engage that battle with the tools and the weapons, the spiritual weapons that God has given to us. So, we'll close there. Let's ask the Lord to help us as we approach the table now, as we think about these things. Lord, it is our privilege to come before Thee Lord Jesus Christ and remember Him in His appointed way at the table. We thank You, as we do, that He made atonement for iniquity in His body and in His blood. We're mindful, Lord, that our evil thoughts are in part what nailed Him there. And so, our God, we confess them before You, humbly ask for Your cleansing and forgiveness, which we know can only come through one means. That is the shed blood of Christ. Without that, there is no remission of sin. No permanent expiation, no propitiation, no redemption, no atonement. We thank You for it, for Him, for what He's accomplished on our behalf. In Jesus' name, amen.